5877. Hi, geeks. Welcome to Geek Speak.
Hey, Lyle. Union.
Hey, happy geekness.
So, Chris, let's start with you. You got a whole bunch of devices in front of you, as normal. I mean, you always carry stuff with you.
I am fully geek-enabled. Yes.
And you have, it looks like, a plethora of devices in front of you. Can you pick up your favorite or pick up your least favorite and talk about it?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, favorite's in my shirt pocket. It's
nice and warm.
Yeah, keep it warm, close to my heart. It's the new Sony Klee NX70, which I am particularly fond of right now.
Isn't that different from last time, or is that the same we had last?
Well, I don't think we've talked about this on the air. Last year, we had, or 6 months ago, we had the last edition of this model, the Klee NR70, and this new one, it's a little small PDA, but it has a camera on the top, and it's actually now not just a still camera, but it's a movie camera.
And again, the designation on this device is?
It's a Klee NX70, and it's one of the first devices running the Palm Operating System version 5. It's got a 200 megahertz ARM processor, and more fun than a barrel of monkeys.
And I mean, the coolest thing about this thing is it's got the video camera on it, and you can record hours of fun.
Yeah, the camera. We had this at dinner at Post Geek Speak last week, and we're filming the baby antics and people playing with their food. And
did you get the power going out?
We did not film the power going out, but I probably could have. Actually, what I did use this far was a flashlight when the power went out. You just stick it in your shirt pocket with a screen hanging out, and it's a geek flashlight.
How expensive is that geek flashlight?
$600.
It's
pricey for a flashlight, but it's a flashlight with a video camera built in. And it's a full Palm PDA as well.
Which means you get address book, calendar, to-do list. What other things can you do with that thing?
Well, the features, since Sony is focusing on media, so it's got a little photo album viewer. Actually, when it's in your desk, I know you're going to be showing off a digital picture frame. This has actually got software to be a digital picture frame. It'll cycle through your pictures and show a little clock overlaid on the bottom corner on your desk.
And that's pretty common from the Klee realm.
Yeah, they really. Sony is trying to combine. They call this a personal entertainment organizer. So they're combining. It's also an MP3 player, so you can carry your music around on a memory stick. It's a camera. It's a movie camera. It's a music player. It's a voice recorder, so you can record voice memos and stuff. And it's a full Palm PDA with all the productivity functionality. And it's
how long does the batteries last?
They last. You can go through it's not like some of the older devices where you don't have to worry about batteries. But if you just make sure you pop it in the cradle every day or so, you're fine.
So you're not going to be wanting to hike the Himalayas with this thing?
And not without an extra battery.
And a guide, probably.
Yeah.
Well, since you mentioned it, I'll go ahead and mention the Siva, or Kiva. What do you guys think it is? Siva?
I vote for Kiva.
Kiva?
I'd say Siva.
Siva. I think we'll go with Siva. Okay. Siva is a, it's a company, it's a website, Siva.com, C-E-I-V-A. I've got one in front of me, and I've got pictures downloaded on it. And what it is a picture frame. It's a relatively large picture frame with an LCD in it. And Siva actually sent it out to me to take a look at. And the idea is you plug it into your wall outlet, and you also plug in a phone line, and then you push a button on the back, and it dials an 800 number and connects. And you also go visit a website to set this thing up, and you put in your local phone numbers for it, and you put up a whole bunch of photographs. You can upload photographs to it. And then it connects to the server and downloads those images to this device and then cycles through it every 5 seconds, and the interval's all set up online. So the first thing I did was visit the website. That's on the 123 on their box. That's the first thing you do. And the website's very good. It's got a great interface for uploading your images and managing images. In it by itself, it's a relatively good site for that purpose of kind of managing online images. And then the settings for the device is relatively good. The thing I ran into, the worst thing, was that prefix for dialing out, so that you have, dial a, if you're at UCSC where I am during the day, you've got to dial a 6 to get an outside dial tone. And, in fact, it doesn't actually give you a dial tone, and so this device won't work at UCSC. But when I was setting it up, I set it up from home and had it, the last call out, I had the settings set to dial a 6 when it calls out next. So you go to work, and it doesn't work anyway. I can't go home because it's trying to dial a 6, and that will be a bad signal. So I've got this device I can't connect to. And luckily, they've got a workaround that will reset their settings by holding down 2 buttons. So in general, it's fairly good. I would say that it has next to no support in a network that has prefix selection because I couldn't get it to work. Maybe that's just because of the environment I'm in. But in general, these things are relatively expensive. They're the Siva, and it's a picture frame. What do you guys think of the quality of the images? Just to get your opinions.
It's horrible from the side.
Yeah, head on, it's really nice. I mean, that looks like a real baby there.
It is. Imagine that. Yeah, it's my baby. One of the couple cool features they have on their site is you can download the weather forecast. So you wake up in the morning, you look over your bedside, and you've got a picture of the forecast of your area that day. And the other features that are pretty cool, and the main selling point of this thing is you've got a grandparent or a friend, and they don't have a computer at all. You can give them this, set it up for them completely, give them this, and then all they have to do is plug it in and let it go, and you can upload the images to them. So it makes sense in that realm. Luckily, I think most of my relatives actually have computers, so I don't do that. But
did they say how much it cost?
Yeah, I don't have the cost still on me. If someone's online and available to look up SIVA.com and find out how much these things cost, I think they're – I don't know what the realm is.
I think it was like $150 if I remember right, and then there's a monthly subscription of like $6 a month.
Yeah, and that's to change the images. And I think you could pretty much run it indefinitely without changing the images. All you have to do is unplug the phone line, but that would be pretty expensive. 20 images. It does hold 20 images. So pretty cool device. I'd recommend it in a situation where you're a geek and you have relatives you want to send images to that are not. That's where I'd recommend it. Who's next? Sean, you got a good thing on your plate.
Yeah, this Christmas, if you're looking for a DVD recorder, I recommend the Sony. It's the DVD-1RW.
Now,
it comes in two models.
This is consumer. This is for computer?
This is for your computer.
Okay.
Right. This is not for your television. And what this is a all-in-one DVD recorder. Not only does it do -R standard, it does the +R standard and rewritable as well. So this thing does a lot.
What's the burn speed?
At the DVD-R drive, it writes at 4X. As a DVD +R drive, it writes at 2.4X.
Is there a media to support 4X?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And this is a third-generation drive, the newest, okay. Latest, greatest. And not only does it write DVDs and recordable DVDs, it also does CDs, too.
And what's the speed of the CDs?
As a CDR drive, it's a 24X. And as a CDRW, it's a 4X, 10X max. Well, I guess it's 10X. And it reads CD-ROMs at 32 speed and reads DVDs at 8X. So this thing does everything.
So let's get back out of the realm of the geek. I know what the X's are, but can you describe a little bit what the X is? Wait, what do you mean by saying it writes at a CD 24X? What does that mean?
Well, currently the fastest CDR readers that you're going to find are about 48 speed.
You mean burners?
Right. No.
Oh, readers.
Readers.
Okay.
Right. But there are, 48 speed burner,
too. So what
does
48 speed mean?
So 150K per second would be a one-speed drive. Multiply that by 48.
And that's the speed of the
that's
output.
That's the amount of data you can write a second.
And put that to the realm that we can understand. If you had a CD playing and it had a full CD, which is about a half an hour of music.
Right.
A little less, actually. If you play that at normal speed, that 1X, it's going to take 24 minutes or whatever to go through it. 72.
It's 74 minutes.
74 minutes. But if you do it at
disc.
48 speed, then it would be 48 times
You
as
can
fast.
Pretty much burn a disc in about 3 minutes.
So a full audio disc, 3 minutes. That's good speed.
Yeah, not
that's
bad at all.
Do you have one of these yet, Sean?
No, not yet, but I wouldn't mind one. And, of course, this thing has burn-proof technology, which is a little chip from Sanyo that if your machine is not up to par, if it's not fast enough, if it can't provide data to the drive fast enough, basically this chip turns the laser off until it gets the data it needs and then turns it back on and starts recording from the very place it stopped the last time.
So it actually has to be reading retroactively. It has to be reading as it writes to determine where the last point is.
It pretty much writes, from what I understand, this chip knows exactly the address of where it last wrote to. And when it's ready to start writing again, it just starts right back to that exact space.
It's an interesting dilemma.
So you can never burn a bad disk.
Right. It's an interesting dilemma, though. Without that kind of thing, you can't read where your address is without the disk being fully written.
Yeah.
Because you just don't have that. I mean, it doesn't work.
It is pretty neat technology.
And it's so convenient. It's so nice not to have to lose disk anymore.
And they have two versions of this. An external unit that has FireWire, which Sony calls iLink, and it has USB 1 and 2, and it's $430. Or you can get an internal a TAPI drive unit, which hooks up to your IDE port and your motherboard for $350.
So it's not cheap, but it's cheaper than the...
And if you're not interested in DVD recorders and you just want a CD recorder, I recommend the Plex Writer. It's a 48-24-48, so it basically writes at 48 speed, rewrites, which means it writes to rewritable media at 24 speed, and reads at 48 speed. And the cool thing about this is the first drive to rewrite at 24 speed.
That is fast.
Yeah, you can pretty much write to a CD rewritable disk in under 4 minutes.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Well, the first drives that were the DVD, Sony's what are they called?
Well, the internal version's the DRU500A, and the external version is the DRX500UL. But if you just ask for the Sony DVD Plus R, Dash R, you know, all-in-one DVD recorder. I mean, everybody seems to know what this drive is. It's a hot item right now.
And
it's
if everyone's lost first drive what we're talking about, we'll have this information late in the afternoon tomorrow on our website, yeah. geekspeak.org.
And you can get more information at sonystyle.com or plexstore.com.
John, you did mention that they don't call it FireWire, they call it
iLink.
iLink. Yeah. And FireWire is owned by Mac, is that right?
Apple?
No, not
Apple.
Anymore.
Oh, it's not. Who's it owned by?
No, Apple actually donated the trademark rights to the name FireWire to the IEEE 1394
consortium.
So yeah. Other companies don't have to call it IEEE.
So now everybody can use the name FireWire. So 1394 is going the way of the dodo. FireWire is in, unless you're a Sony product.
Of course, it's the same thing.
It's iLink.
Which is funny because isn't Apple the one who has all the i products?
That is funny. Yeah. I think Sony just didn't want their products to be referred to as, you know, 1394, which is the standards, you know, basically the number for that technology.
So now the only people that have to know that 1394 means FireWire is, well, us.
Yeah.
Okay. John, you want to hit us now, next, speaking of Apple?
Speaking of Apple, I didn't choose an Apple product.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been looking at big screen TVs. And
how big?
How big? 60 inches?
That's which, big.
Wow.
What I found is really big about these is the price tag. Oh, my God. They start at $5,000 or $6,000, and they go up to $25,000 to $30,000.
Will you pick me one up, please?
No. Sure. Yeah, just give me the money.
Not very pocket size.
No, not pocket size at all.
Are they worth it?
Well, it depends on what you are doing with it. You could get a projection, and one of my friends was saying, well, couldn't you just get an LCD projector for $1,200, $3,000 maybe, and a nice screen, and put it in a dark room, and you'd have the same effect? Yeah, absolutely. I guess if you're a company that needs this in a presentation where there's a light area, like trade shows, big place for them.
And are these LCDs, or are they...
Plasma?
Plasma.
Plasma. Sony has one, they just came out with the WIGA. I think is how you pronounce it. It's a 60-inch that's only $6,000, as compared to most 60 inches, which are $17,000 to $25,000.
Jeez.
The difference being, it's got three 1.5-inch LCD screens that are projecting onto a back projection unit, just like your normal projection television. This is using LCDs as the source instead of a normal CRT, though. So you get a much clearer picture, but for a lot less money, like a third the money. They actually had one down at Circuit City. I went and looked at it. It was pretty neat. So the neat thing about these, the true plasma ones, is they're only about 4 inches thick. They weigh about 100 to 150 pounds, so you can hang them on the wall.
As long as you find a stud.
Well, a couple of studs. But most of them come with wall-hanging kits, so you can take your television, mount it on the wall.
But this is earthquake country. Cool. Don't hang it up anywhere where you can fall on anybody fragile.
Good. And, you know, I'm going to ask any of our callers, because I don't think any of the geeks know how exactly a plasma screen works.
Yeah, I was trying to find that difference between a plasma and an LCD.
All right. So if you're out listening to us, thanks. And call in if you know the number, know why plasma screens are called plasma.
Well, LCD is basically...
liquid crystal display.
Every one of them can show three different colors, right? And turns it on a little bit.
But that's a liquid crystal display, and plasma supposedly is different. Of course, it's doing
plasma
that.
Plasma is very different. It's working with gases. So supposedly, plasma only has a life of about 10 to 20 years.
Oh,
ouch.
Ouch.
Yeah, so you're paying a lot of money
for it. Yeah, because we always keep our technical equipment for 10 to 20 years. Oh, no.
It's so
true. If you're paying as much as you would for a car,
yeah,
you would hope it would last at least
a good screen's at least $10,000.
Who keeps their car 10 to 20 years? Only good people.
I do.
Only gross polluters.
Inflation. 20 years, what's $6,000? Pocket change.
Well, if you know exactly how plasma screen works, the phone numbers are 476-2800 or 1-800-655-5877. If you want to join our discussion, ask some questions about any of the things we talked about tonight, or make another suggestion to a really cool geek gift, the phone numbers, again, are 476-2800 or 1-800-655-5877. Join KOSP this Tuesday, that's tomorrow, for a special holiday edition of Mind, Body, Spirit. Host Noel Murphy will be joined by Billy Harris and Nancy Aronson, as well as Clifford and Dixie from the Fun Institute for readings of Christmas stories. That's Mind, Body, Spirit tomorrow at noon on listener-supported KOSP. And also tomorrow in the holiday realm, We have a Christmas Eve special hosted by Bonnie Jean Primsch for a half hour of stories from around the Central Coast and beyond, holiday meals, memories, and encounters with the law in a special produced production at the KSP Studios. That's tomorrow at 6:30 here on Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP. And you are listening to Geek Speak in the house tonight. John Tracy, Chris Dumphy, Miles Elam, Sean Cleveland, myself, Lyle Troxell. And we are talking about holiday gifts in the geek realm. The phone numbers, if you'd like to join our discussion, are 476-2800 or 1-800-655-5877. And I think the last... Well, were you done with plasma screens or the lack of our knowledge of plasma screens? Are you going to buy one, John?
If anyone would like to donate one for GeekSpeak to try,
we will cycle it.
Please email donations at geekspeak.org.
Which is a non-existent email address. No, no, it's fine.
It'll work.
Just send it to Sean at geekspeak.org.
That's a J.
So you're not going to go ahead and crank this that kind of money out for a new TV?
When my television dies, we're definitely going to get a flat screen TV of some type. Not flat screen as in flat CRT, but a non-CRT screen, just because of the energy and the picture. The energy it doesn't use.
I have been given permission to get a plasma screen.
Wow. By whom?
By Maggie.
So all you have to do is...
In 2006. So I'm patiently biding my time.
Counting your
people. Okay, we've all... Don't you have a plasma screen, Chris?
No, I've got an HDTV screen, but it's
like
unpleasant.
It?
It's CRT. The screen is beautiful.
It is.
It's just a joy to watch.
It is. It's pretty damn amazing.
Yeah. For a CRT.
Well, CRTs actually have a lot of advantages over plasma and LCDs because the way the light's coming at you, it actually gives you a brighter, higher contrast image.
I think it's sharper, too.
The problem with the CRT is you can't make a direct view CRT much larger than 38, 40 inches.
Yeah.
So they kind of max out because you've got a giant vacuum tube there that's just waiting to implode.
And there's the logistics of aiming that electron beam at the screen and getting it to go out to the edges and make it flat without being a giant circle. And my goodness.
You know, people should keep in mind if they're going to get a widescreen TV because they don't like the bands across the top of their movies. And you do get rid of those bands, which is really nice. When they watch regular television, they'll get the bands on either side of the screen.
Actually, we've just found that the automatic zoom mode that does a little bit of a smart trim and a slight distortion, you don't even notice, and it fills regular TV up, fills up the whole screen.
We got a call from Salinas. Wow. David, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Really?
David, you joining us today? Am I running the board correctly? Check, check, check. Everything seems to be good. And we don't have David, unfortunately. Wait, let's try this. Hi, David. Welcome.
There?
Yes, we're here.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to call about is I've got a Sony VAIO PCVRZ14G. It's marketed to allow you to edit home videos and record.
Does its battery
CDs
still work?
And burn DVDs and stuff.
Is this a notebook or a desktop?
It's a desktop, but anyways. There's a problem with it, and it's being recalled by Sony, and they're going to fix it, and then they're going to send me a Klee handheld SL10. And my question is, the SL10 a decent handheld?
Yeah, the SL10 is Sony's low end of the Klee line. If I remember right, it is a monochrome model, so it'll only display grayscale images, but I think it is a high-res screen. And it's running PalmOS 4.1 and is definitely a nice device to have.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Do you currently have a handheld, David?
No, I've never had one. My wife's got one. It's a Palm Pilot, and I think she likes it. But
yeah, this will be very similar. The Sony Klees use the Palm operating system, and so it'll work very similar. It'll be able to use the same applications as your wife's device.
Yeah, will the screen on that one be white, Chris?
I think the SL10 is kind of a black on white monochrome screen. It's a nice screen, but
it's
been a while since I've seen it.
Cool. Now that's good tech support.
That is really nice that they're doing that. Sony's doing that.
I guess the recall was a pretty severe one. Huh. I wonder how long it took for them to figure out they really had a problem.
I hope Sony's paying for shipping at least. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Marcus from Santa Cruz, welcome to Geek Speak.
Gentlemen, how are you tonight?
Quite well.
Say, listen, I've been on the loop for a while. Actually, I've been living in Hollywood for the past couple of years.
I'm sorry.
Does geek still mean rock star over here?
No, we don't bite chickens off. We don't bite heads off chickens, unfortunately.
What I'm saying is back in the internet heyday, the late 90s and stuff, the word geek was synonymous with rock star.
We all are rock stars, actually.
All right. Well, congratulations. Gentlemen, I have a question. And what does anyone have a realistic forecast on when they're going to successfully integrate a PDA and a cell phone into one unit that actually works and you can actually fit on your belt?
That was about, eight months ago?
Yeah, actually, there are currently three manufacturers who make Palm converged with cell phone devices. There's Handspring has the Treo, which is a great device. Then
does it fit on the belt?
It will fit on your belt nicely. And then there's a new clamshell. If you want something that looks much more like a phone, there's actually a little clamshell phone from Kyocera that just went on sale this past week. It's
color
the Kyocera 7135. It's a color screen Palm device, but it's got a full regular phone keypad. It's like a regular clamshell phone. Fits in your pocket nicely, but you pop it open, and you've got a full Palm PDA in there. So that's the Kyocera 7135.
And what networks is that available on?
I believe that's going to be on Verizon. I think the first one on sale is on Altel, which doesn't cover California, but it's going to be on Verizon, and it'll be available in Verizon stores very soon. Then there's the Samsung's got two Palm OS phones with the i300 and i330, and those are available via Sprint.
Yeah, I've seen some of my colleagues had the Handspring models. They seem to be kind of clunky, a little bit unuser friendly as far as phones go. Also, do you guys know if any of these PDA/phones have voice recorder memos? Those are three things I use the most.
I know that the Kyocera has voice recording memos, and also some people are looking for more of a phone. The Handspring Treo is more PDA like. It's got a phone key. It's got a text keyboard, a QWERTY keyboard for typing rather than a phone dialing keypad. But you should definitely check out the new Kyocera because that actually has a numeric keypad, so it looks like a phone. You can dial it like a phone, and it does have the voice recording feature that you're looking for.
And one final question, if I may.
Go ahead. Sure.
Do any of these, does the Sony Clié or any of the other popular PDA lines, will they interface with business card scanners?
All the main business card scanner software I'm aware of can synchronize directly with the Palm desktop, so any of the Palm PDAs, the Palm OS running PDAs will be able to tie into the business card scanners.
And will the new Sony, will it run ACT or Goldmine or any of those type of database?
ACT has just come out with a version of ACT for handhelds that I think you have to buy it separately. I'm not too familiar with how they're selling that, but then it lets you bring everything from ACT down onto your PDA.
Oh, that's sweet. It's really starting to integrate it.
Yeah. It's actually like an ACT client on the PDA.
Yeah.
And Marcus, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow, Chris, I'm glad you're here because I wouldn't know any of that stuff. Well, we might have time for one more call. The phone numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at... Oh, you know, we just got another line, and I think we're going to just take that one and go with it. David from Santa Cruz, welcome. David, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, forgive me if you've already covered this as I was out of the car for a bit. It has to do with the plasma TV. I hate television. I don't have cable, but when I watch a video or something, I want it to look good. I looked at the plasmas the other day, and two things that jumped out at me that I think are important is, one, apparently the black is... I noticed the picture quality was not very good, and they don't show black well. Second of all, I want something thin, and the guy told me that if they are tilted or tipped and laid down in any way, shape, or form... it's dead. You might as well throw it away. So I'm not even considering one. So those are two big factors. The quality was not
completely... Wait, could you say that again? If it's tilt or tipped?
That's what the... and again, this is also at Circuit City, that whether it's in shipping or installation or in any other way, if it is laid down, then whatever's in there...
I don't want to say any bad words about a company you went to, but it sounds to me like someone was trying to sell you something else. Because I haven't heard anything like that on a plasma screen, especially shipping. They're shipping all over the world. So I can imagine if it was on for a long time, like face up or face down, that there's a problem.
Yeah.
But I would doubt it because there's even ads for them being vertical, you know, being on the surface.
Hung on the ceiling.
On the ceiling.
Yeah, that was one
of
the neat things about them. Yeah.
You know, I have a friend that bought one, and it was special delivered. I should ask him.
Okay.
We'll talk about this again.
That's what the salesman told me. But anybody that was considering them should also... closely compare the picture quality, because it was not as bright, not as sharp as I had hoped. So anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, thank you very much for the call.
Sure.
Now, Miles, we didn't get to your gift idea. Did you have one?
Well, for the most part, I am content. But frankly, for me personally, it's not a really new, neat gadget. It's just I'd like a laptop that the battery worked on. And so if we're going to get a new... Hey, man.
You have to charge it, you know.
Yeah, so if I were... So if I were going to get like a new laptop, or you know, if someone were going to buy me one, because
but you're not specifically saying that you want a certain type of laptop. Just
yeah,
one with a battery.
No, if I was going to get, if someone was going to get me a new laptop,
yeah,
you know,
he wants a free laptop.
Yeah, I'd like the new titanium PowerBook.
If I get this right. So you like the titanium PowerBook? Let's talk about that then. You have a specific technology. What do you like about the titanium PowerBook by Apple?
Because the laptop hardware is wonderful, even though, like, Sean's going to get on me about, oh, it's a little bit slower with the CPU. But
a little bit?
See, that doesn't matter to me. The way that I use a computer, it doesn't matter to me. I don't play games very much.
It's probably fine for everything you're going to do.
And just engineered in terms of the outside, how you handle it, it's just engineered very well, and it's running OS X, which, you know, it's a Unix. It's
I must say, it is quite a feat of engineering. It's very nice.
I would say that's the top of my laptop list as well.
So that's a Macintosh titanium notebook. They run too much.
Just around
$2,000.
If you want to put out $3,000, you get one with a DVD burner
in a laptop.
So and it has FireWire. I'm sorry. IEEE 1384. FireWire.
It's all FireWire now.
Yeah, I don't need the DVD burner. I just want a battery.
they all come with batteries now.
Well, if any Sony techs are on listening to us, please give us an email at geeks@geekspeak.org. And if you also have other questions you think might be appropriate for the show, you can email us at geeks@geekspeak.org, and we will add it to our show next week. We will be back next week at 6:30 on Monday. This program is supported by a grant from Seagate Technology. Seagate is a worldwide supplier of disk drives for PCs and servers and innovations for products like the Microsoft Xbox, digital video recorders, and digital jukeboxes. Information is at Seagate.com. Sean, Miles, John, Chris, thank you all for joining me today.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It's a pleasure.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Or whatever holiday
happy
you
holidays.
Happen to.
Holidays.
Bah, humbug.
Next week, we will be covering new technology for 2003. So, we just talked about what you can get now. We're going to be talking about next week what you might want to get in the future. We'll also be taking any tech calls on those new gifts that you got that didn't work. Thank you very much for listening to Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. This is Central Coast Public Radio, Santa Cruz, KUSP Santa Cruz, KVDH San Ardo. We're on the web at KUSP.org. Thanks, geeks, for being here. Maggie, thanks for answering the phones. And we'll be back next week. Stay tuned now for Two Steps in the Blues with Charlie Lang. But first, a little bit of Stardate.
Stardate, December 23rd. The planet Mercury